हरि ओ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 25, text 1, 285, page 26. It is said that Markandeya and other sages attain perfection by sadhana. Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj said that no one can attain the perfectional stage of devotional service without bowing down before exalted devotees. Learned sages like Markandeya Rishi attain perfection in devotional service simply by executing such regulative principles of service. Right? So by sadhana, then one can come to that perfectional platform. 2.1, 2.86, 2.87. An example of attaining perfection by mercy from the 10th canto. These women have never undergone the purificatory rites of the twice-born classes, nor have they lived as brahmacharinis in the ashram of the spiritual master. Brahmacharis. Okay. Brahmacharis in the ashram of the spiritual master, nor have they executed austerities, speculated on the nature of the self, followed the formalities of cleanliness, or engaged in pious rituals. Right? So in other words, they haven't done all the various religious processes, you know, that are connected with self-realization. Nevertheless, they have firm devotion for Lord Krishna, whose glories are chanted by the exalted hymns of the Vedas, and who is the supreme master of all masters of mystic power. We, on the other hand, have no such devotion for the Lord, although we have executed all these processes. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.23.42.43. Srila Prabhupada. A person's achieving perfection in devotional service simply by the causeless mercy of the Lord is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with the brahmanas and their wives who are engaged in performing yajna or sacrifice. When the wives of the Brahmins were favored by Lord Krishna and immediately attained the ecstasy of love of Godhead, their husband said, "How wonderful it is that although these women have undertaken no reformatory performances, such as accepting the sacred thread, have not resided in the monasteries of the spiritual master, have not observed the strict principles of celibacy, have not undergone any austerities, and have not philosophized upon the observance of ritualistic ceremonies, they still have attained the favor of Krishna, which is aspired after even by great mystics. How wonderful it is that these women have attained such perfection, while we, although brahmanas who have performed all the reformatory activities, cannot attain to this advanced stage." So that's mercy of Krishna. So there are those who follow the rules. They then come to the platform of getting, you know, attaining Krishna. Like that, by their performance of sadhana, Krishna being pleased. And then there's those who, just their attitude is such, yes, that they're just devoted to Krishna naturally, Krishna is pleased. Yes.
Well, the difficulty seems to be is that in many devotees' minds, mercy means there's no basis for mercy at all. It's like it's out from the sky. But here...
There's not an example, I mean, at least here it's not given that how a rat bag got the mercy.
Exactly. So the ladies... they had spontaneous, as soon as they saw Krishna and Balaram, or their representative, mm-hmm. they spontaneously felt attraction.
Yes.
So then Krishna, you know, became merciful to them.
Yes, yes.
So it's not like without any basis that mercy...
No, No. So it's not that, oh, we don't have to do anything. That's what Prabhupada gives the example, having explained this. Then he gives the example that just like there are those, you know, he gives the example of that there are those who go to college and from going to college get a degree. But there's others who work in that field and become very excellent in the field without going to school. And then later then that university recognizes them and gives them a degree. Mm-hmm. So that's the point, is that but both of them, they're working. One is working at studying, the other is practical application. So by seeing Krishna, then they have surrendered to Krishna. Then they already have, they've already attained the perfection that the sadhana is trying to bring about. So the point is it's not they're getting mercy for nothing. They're getting mercy for that surrender to Krishna. But for some, like the problem is that the idea of the sadhana is that you'll surrender to Krishna. But they've said, we've performed the sadhanas, but we haven't surrendered. Right? Therefore, they didn't get, you know, the Lord didn't reciprocate. So in any case, mercy is coming. You perform the sadhana, Krishna pleased, by his mercy, then you attain this attraction for Krishna, you know, this love of Godhead, right? And the other is that without the sadhana, they have developed this attraction to Krishna. Yes. And so, and then the mercy. So, since it's just mercy, you don't call it sadhana. The other one, you've done the sadhana, then got the mercy. If you just get the mercy, then it's called mercy. And if you did the sadhana and got the mercy, it's called sadhana. Oh. Yes. But in any case, you're still getting the mercy. So people can't say, oh, I don't have to do anything because it's just by the mercy. But then where's your surrender to Krishna that mercy is going to be there? Yeah. So, yeah.
Yes. As is pointed out by Prahlad Maharaj, that surrendering to the feet of this exalted devotee is offering obeisances.
Mm-hmm.
And without doing that, one cannot get the mercy.
Yes.
So we see that's a common principle in both. While performing sadhana, then as a regulation, you do that,
mm-hmm.
and who gets the mercy also, they are some way connected to a devotee, and they like being
yes.
connected to devotee, I mean,
yes,
and they
yes.
are surrendered to them in some sense.
Yeah, no, very good. Because the wives of the Brahmins, then when the boys came, because Krishna didn't come himself, he sent the boys.
Yes.
So when the boys came, then they respected them, because they're devotees of Krishna. And in that way, then they express. So again, it's just like you said there. By Vladimir says, without the devotees, so that's the thing. No one's going to obtain anything without the bowing down before the exalted devotees. But now, so that's the main thing. But then for us to bow down, it may require a few more regulative principles before we take it seriously.
Yes.
So. Two eighty-eight. Another example. We are not known to have suffered pains in the service of Guru, and you have no trace of exerting even a drop of labor in following the rules of sadhana. But you have succeeded in attaining the river of nectar made of prema, coming from the two lotus feet of Mukunda, which are the wealth sought by Paramahamsas. Srila Prabhupada. There's a similar statement by Narada, addressed to Sukadev Goswami. My dear Sukadev Goswami, you never took the trouble to reside under the care of a spiritual master. Right? It means as soon as he was born, he just walked out. So he could have lived in his house and been under the direction of a spiritual master. And yet you have attained such great status of transcendental knowledge. You never took the trouble to undergo severe austerities. And still, how wonderful it is that you have been situated in the most perfect stage of love of Godhead. Jiva Goswami. Remembering that the wives of the Brahmanas attained perfection of prema by discussing the qualities of Lord in good association, it is still unclear whether some sort of purification is first necessary for attaining prema by mercy. Right? Because then it comes down as, okay, purification. They didn't do all the technical things, but maybe they've done some here. Right? So just to make the point clear, right? Thus another example is given, yata va, which shows attainment of prema with no purificatory preparation. Right? He's born, he walks out. This is the verse spoken by Narada to Sukadeva. Because they're trying to make exactly that, it's that relationship of surrender to the Lord That's what all this required. These secondary ones, that's what we use to get there. You know, like it was mentioning before, of the two levels of knowledge. You have that transcendental knowledge, the para and the apara. So the apara vidya then gives all the purificatory rites how you get to there. Right? And all those practices. And then there's the actual absorption in Krishna himself. That is then the higher thing. So if you can do that naturally, directly, then you don't need to do the sadhana. Right? To get to that platform. But if you don't have that naturally, then you have to perform the sadhana. So it's not a question of, well, which one do I follow? If you're asking that question, sadhana. You know, that's the way it works. So, yeah?
Samadhi, it means that you can understand the special mercy of Krishna come because of it's not because, but we need to have the right attitude.
Yeah. It's all about means. Prema is an attitude. It's an attitude of that affection and that attraction to Krishna.
Yes, favorable.
Yes, and so for us, even in sadhana, we have to have the right attitude that it's about pleasing Krishna. It's not about something else. That's why it comes up is that if let's say we're saying, okay, so what would be the best arrangement? What would be the best plan? The point is which one means. Which one will get the results as pleasing to Krishna? You know, and which one will be pleasing to Krishna itself? Since Krishna says he is the knowledge, he is the process, he is the result. So then on all these levels, which one is pleasing to Krishna? Right? So then that's what's called sannyas. Right? Because then the attitude is correct. But if we do it however we like to do it, it may be according to scripture or not, or, you know, it's proper or not. But getting the result, we give that to Krishna, that's renunciation. So that's lower. So in other words, sannyas is that higher, the act because of the attitude, and the other one's the lower. Is that something? So the point is that we're trying to get to that position. But we should appreciate that mercy is there. So if it's not here, because the point is they've done it in a previous life. It's brought them to that point. So all it took now is just some little bit and then just the contact with Krishna and then it's manifest. So that's the point. If we come in contact and it's manifest, great. And if not, then you know you follow the process of sadhana. That's what Krishna says in Gita, is that best is you just surrender, right? And then you just get the mercy, right? But if not, then you follow the sadhana. So that's Krishna's recommendation, right? The sadhana based on the platform of sannyas, right? That attitude of sannyas. And if not, then on the attitude of renunciation. And if you can't do that, then just be renounced. Yeah. 2.1.289. Those who attain perfection by mercy are Sukadeva, the wives of the Brahmins, and Bali, the son of Virochana. Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami and the wives of the Brahmanas performing yajna are vivid examples of devotees who achieve the perfectional stage of devotional service by the grace of the Supreme Personality, Godhead. Jiva Goswami. The example of the wives of the Brahmanas has already been given. It should be understood that their perfection was a sudden realization of the truth. 2.1.290. Those whose very body and qualities are bliss, like Mukundas, and who possesses the highest prema for Krishna, which is 10 million times more greater than attachment for the self, are called eternally perfect. Srila Prabhupada. Eternal perfection. Persons who have achieved eternal blissful life, exactly on the level of Sri Krishna, and who are able to attract Lord Krishna by their transcendental loving service, are called eternally perfect. The technical name is Nitya Siddha. There are two classes of living entities, namely Nitya Siddha and Nitya Baddha. The distinction is that the Nitya Siddhas are eternally Krishna conscious, without any forgetfulness. whereas the Nityabadas, or eternally conditioned souls, are forgetful of their relationship with Krishna. Jiva Goswami. Those who have qualities which are eternal, and whose very form is bliss, Nityananda Gunaha, like Mukundas, are called Nityasiddha. Mention of qualities here also represents bodies, right? Because otherwise, how do you manifest qualities without a body? Right? So it means that. So if you say they have qualities, it means they have bodies. Next, their chief quality is mentioned. They have prema, which is 10 million times greater, koti gunam, than the prema for the self. And the compound atma koti gunam, a word in the middle, prema, is missing. So So what we see is that we may have so much affection for ourselves that we'll go to so much effort and trouble for ourselves. Right? But it says here is 10 million times greater than that is the affection that the devotees have for Krishna. Yes.
In general usage, koti is the word which is used as the highest. That's why it is.
Yeah, so 10 million means it's unlimited, but it's generally used to quote it. You know, I will say millions or not billions. You know, it's the same context. So it's 100 lakhs, no? Or 1,000 lakhs.
100
lakhs. Yes, we have, yeah. So that's a koti. An example from the discussion between, like you see, is that qualities are 64. Or arts are 64. But it doesn't mean that there's not more than that. But it's just like, you know, when you say, how much is there? It's 10 million. Not that it's not more, but that's just the term used. 21, 291, and 292. An example from the discussion between Satyabhama and the Lord from the Padma Purana. Oh, beautiful Satyabhama, I have come because of prayers of Brahma and the Devatas, and my associates have all taken birth with me. O goddess, the Yadavas that you see are all my associates and are full of all qualities like me. They always hold me alone as dear. Srila Prabhupada. The position of the Nityasiddhas is explained in the Padma Purana in connection with the narration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Satyabhama Devi. The Lord tells Satyabhama, my dear Satyabhama Devi, I have descended to this earthly planet by the request of Lord Brahma and other demigods. Those who are born into this family of the Yadus are my eternal associates. My dear wife, you should not consider that my associates are ever separated from me. They are my personal expansions, and as such, you must know that they are almost as powerful as I am. Because of their transcendental qualities, they are very, very dear to me, as I am very, very dear to them. End quote. Anyone who becomes exhilarated by hearing of the pastimes of Lord Krishna when he was present on this earth with his associates is to be understood as Nityasiddha, eternally perfect. Right? So as soon as they hear, right? As soon as they hear, just by hearing, they're exhilarated. So it's not that it's a process you have to go through. Right? So that's the Nityasiddhas. And if that's not there, then we go through the process. So that means we're the Nityabadas. You want to know? This is the test. 2-1-293.
Nityasiddhas had a good hearing.
Yes, yes. Very good. Because they only hear about Krishna. They don't hear anything else. Just like we saw before, whatever they see it related to Krishna.
They catch immediately.
Yeah, immediately. It's just everything just reminds them of Krishna. You know, some aspect. You know, different things. You know, the trio of that aspect, the building another aspect, you know, the devotees another aspect. So they're always absorbed in Krishna. What's that? Tushanti cha ramanti cha. Right? They're always absorbed. So. Jiva Goswami, Mat Priya means they always hold me as alone as dear and not themselves. You know, so it's always about Krishna, not about something else. So it's always about Krishna and not themselves. So anything connected to Krishna will also be dear. So the devotees will also be dear because they're connected to Krishna. So they're dear because of their connection to Krishna, not because of their connection to themselves. Does that make sense? So that's the aspect. Is that the cowherd boys, then they're devotees of Krishna. So that's what's dear to their mothers. Yes. It's the connection to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? But because they have the parental rasa, then they act in that way. So therefore then they deal with the other boys and all that like that. Because they're associates of Krishna, so they see like that. So, yeah. 2.1.293. Another example from the 10th canto. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men, and all other inhabitants of Brajabhumi. There's no limit to their good fortune. Like, so this no limit, that would be then koti-koti. Right? So that's like, you know, 10 million, 10 millions. Right? You know. Because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman, has become their friend. Right? So this absolute that everyone's trying to get has become their friend. Right? That's the Bhagavan. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.32. Srila Prabhupada. In the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 32 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this statement. How wonderful are the fortunate residents of Vrindavan, such as Nanda and the other cowherd men. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Brahman, has actually become their intimate friend. Jiva Goswami. The repetition of Avaho Bhagyam expresses wonder. It is therefore not redundant. Right? Because a ho is, you can say that is wonder. And then you're saying that bhagyam is also about, you know, how fortunate they are. So he says it's not redundant. Or else it expresses the daily appearance of good fortune for the inhabitants of Braja. Yad can mean that, because, or whose. It is good fortune that the Supreme Brahman is their friend. Or, it is good fortune because the Supreme Brahman... Okay. It is good fortune that the Supreme Brahman is their friend. So it's good fortune that... Or it's supreme good fortune because he is their friend. Like, one, he is their friend, and so that's their fortunate position. Or it's because he is their friend. Same, you know. Yeah. Or it is because the good fortune of the inhabitants of Braja, whose friend is the Supreme Brahman. So you can look at it from all these, that, because, or whose. Yes. Right? Yes. So he's showing from all these, Yad can mean that, and he show it means that in all three of them. Mm-hmm. The Brahman was their friend, and the perfect full Brahman at that. Not even just, you know, Paramatma was hanging out with them, but... Yeah. What kind of Brahman can be full? Brahman is full because of being a form completely full of bliss. Right? So in Braj, he'll be manifesting the greatest amount of ananda because of that full surrender, so that it's that full reciprocation. Yes. While Dwarka will be a touch less because of that the majesty, so it can't be quite as sweet, and the interaction is a little more formal. And then Vaikuntha is even more formal. So it'll be full of ananda, but it won't have the same volume. Like that intimacy, that intensity. The intensity will be greater. Brahman without form cannot be full, right? Because that means how do you get fullness in nothingness? Right? Therefore, the statement implies the beautiful form of Krishna by mentioning the fullness of bliss. Because right, there has to be a form. Because if I say, you know, if you want to fill something, there has to be a form to fill. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is proven by the fact that even those persons expert in impersonal Brahmajnana later develop the static bodily symptoms from experiencing the form of the Lord. For instance, when the breeze carrying the aroma of tulsi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead enter the nostrils of those sages, they experienced a change both in body and in mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.15.43. And further, what specific type of Brahman is this? It is the highest bliss, Paramanandam, and it is the highest bliss because of its type of bliss. Right? So it's the highest bliss. It means the highest bliss is there, and it's the highest because of the type of the bliss. Right? So the Braja Bhakti. The highest status of bliss comes from bliss with a form rather than without form. Right? So if you have bliss from without form, it won't be as good as bliss with form. Which is understood from the statement concerning Sanaka and other Kumaras just quoted. Because they're in the bliss of impersonal Brahman. But now come in contact with the bliss coming from the person, then they get a higher taste. Right? Therefore, both words, full, purna, and highest bliss, paramananda, indicate the type of bliss which has a form. Otherwise, because purna is you're complete, then if there's no form, how is it complete? Right? Because the form has the expansion of the, it means like we see, there can be a form, and then there can be effulgence of that form.
Yes.
But you don't have effulgence without a form. Yes. Like you have the sunlight, and that's coming from the person.
Yes.
Right? So the person includes the sunlight. Right? But the sunlight doesn't include the person. It's non-different, but it doesn't include. One's dependent and one's not. And that's why I say fully independent. So as Brahman and Paramatma, he's independent. But he's not fully independent because they're actually dependent upon Krishna. That's why they're servant of Krishna.
This aspect of complete and the highest bliss is explained later in the Bhagavad Sandarbha. Quoting that, I think it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that these sages, when they saw the form of the Lord, they were in such a confused state that they cannot comprehend whether we should see the feet of the Lord, the face of the Lord, the limbs of the Lord, because everything is causing increasing bliss in their hearts. So they were completely confused and bewildered, it's like agitated. Generally, Atmaramas are steady, not agitated. But this is causing that intense bliss, so which is of a superior nature only then.
Then, yeah. Otherwise, what is the significance of describing Brahman with these two additional words? Right? Unless you're pointing out the highest feature of Brahman. Having described Brahman with these two words, the word friend, mitram, is described by the word eternal, sanatanam. What type of friend is this Brahman? He's an eternal friend. Right? Because otherwise friends come along and then they go just like, it's mentioned that in the morning when they go wake up Krishna, right? And so then they see some red on his body. So they think that the red, you know, means when he was wrestling with the cowherd boys, that the red earth has become his friend by sticking with him. Right? But it's not an eternal friend because he'll take a bath and it won't be there. Yeah? Having described, then we go. A friend extending over all three phases of time, past, present, and future. Right? So that's eternal friend. Yeah, because then you say best friends forever, right? But then what about the past and the present? Yeah. The implication of Lord Brahma is that just as you, the Lord, are perfected in all three phases of time, so the people of Braja are also perfected in all three phases of time. How are they perfected? They're always with Krishna. They're always with Krishna. Since you are their eternal friend, how can anyone describe their good fortune? Right? Because for others, he's not just a friend. Right? Because that's the thing, that intimacy. Like in Dwarka, then, you know, some will be friends, some other aspect, like think this, but everybody there is a friend. And then they may have deeper relationships beyond that. But there'll be that aspect of formality there. So some it may be less. And Vaikuntha, he's not, everybody is, he's God.
Imagine Braja, there is only friendship, parental, and confidence.
Means the others are there, but they're in support of the pastimes. Means all the rasas are there. But the focus is on these three, because that's what the dynamic aspect is. Krishna's either out with the cowherd boys, he's with Mother Jashoda, or he's with the gopis. So there's never a time where he's just out with the servants, or just out with those in Shantaras. So it's not him and the cows, and that's it, or him in the Vrindavan forest, and that's it. No, he's always out there either with cowherd boys, or with the gopis. And we see also when they leave Gokul and go to Chhattisgarh, then they're out in the forest, then he's with there with all the others. You know, so it's, these are the three main. The other two are supportive, and they're an integral part of the whole thing. Because cowherd boys means that there's cows. You know, and where are they going to go? Out into the forest. You know, Mother Jashoda means as servants. Yes.
Even in Krishna Lila, in Nitya Lila, we observe the sequence of events, and also it is mentioned that the time is eternally present.
Yes.
Then how can we actually match those
two? It means the... Because you're always dealing in the present. Now, if you're... Okay, let's say... Now, is Krishna and his name, form, qualities, and pastimes different or the same?
Same.
So now, let us say one is today remembering a pastime yesterday. You're absorbed in Krishna.
Yes.
So, what time are you in now?
Yesterday.
Present.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Good try. Like that. How you say? I think you have to try Abbey Road for that one. is that? So that's the whole thing. And if you think about how we're going to meet Krishna, you're absorbed in Krishna. So what time period are you in? Present. Mm-hmm. But for the living entities, because you're dealing with stuff that's not directly Krishna, therefore, when you think of the future, you and that thing aren't connected. When you think of the past, you and that thing aren't connected. So that's why then you have the three phases of time here. Well, there you only have the present. There has the flavors of future and past. But it's just present. So the technically it should be back to the present. Does that make sense? Yes. Yes.
Like in material world, time is defined as the instigator or the cause of action, something the word is being used.
Okay.
But in the spiritual world, that is not the cause. Or
time's not the cause. It's rati.
It's rati. That's why.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's a very nice point.
This is good.
Yeah. But the other thing is that they're doing that, so it's not what's making things work. Because here you're dealing with dead matter, so without the false ego that you identify with it, without time, nothing would go on. So that's why you have to have all these ingredients here, these potencies here. You know, it's just like in the spiritual world, all these ecstasies, they are just coming from bhakti. Right? So they're just transformations of Satchitananda. But here, then you have to have all these, you know, chemicals, hormones, and that to create all these things. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Because there's some kind of transformation of the mind, but there's no spiritual body for that, because you're dealing with material things and that, so therefore then mechanically all these things happen. That's why it appears similar, and we can relate to it, but there it's not happening because of these things. Yes.
So Krishna has to mechanically move the electrons, and then the time is, the smallest time is like how much the electron moves around, is defined in the Bhagavad, and the largest time is the universal movement. Mm-hmm. So that Krishna is mechanically moving.
Mm.
Basically, that's how the time is mechanically having effect.
Mm. Yeah. Right. So, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, like that. The other, because it's based on rasa. So, these things are features that are there to create, to enhance the rasa. So, they're all supportive. So, time, all that would all be part of that, like jnana shakti. Yeah, and then that's applied, and then you have the kriya. But the point is these are just supports. It's the bhakti that's the generating these. So supporting the bhakti, all other shaktis are working. So the icha is the main, and the others are then supporting.
So can we say that icha actually is the cause of everything else. It initiates all.
Yes,
all
Krishna's
actions.
Desire is like the rasa dance. You know, there's that thing is that he goes out and he sees that it's the perfect night. You know, for you know, it's Kartik, the best month, and it's a full moon, so it's the best. You know, everything's the best, and the gopis are the best, and he's the best, and so it's time for the best. You know, so his desire is then what puts everything in motion. So Yoga Maya, understanding all, she makes the arrangements. So all these things come up. So if Krishna wants to do a particular, or wants to taste a particular pastime, then all those arrangements happen. Is that, you know, and so that's why the devotees, because of their affection, they just act in that way. They just act. So it's not mechanical. That's the point, is Krishna just focuses on that interaction with the devotees. The mechanical is taken care of by the jnana and kriya shaktis. That's why they're servants. So even though Balaram is the supreme personality of Godhead, he's, the only difference between him and Krishna is Krishna's black, he's whitish. That's the only difference. But he is the one that's arranging all the support. And then Krishna is the one who's enjoying. Because otherwise, who's going to make everything work except himself? Right? Does that make sense? And then for all those arrangements, there's the moon, the existence of things, the knowledge of things, and that. Then that's the jnana shakti. So the jnana shakti supports the kriya, which supports the icha. Does that make sense? But, you know, because it has that sweetness aspect. And so then even though it's going down like this, in the Leela, it's the other way around by the form of it. Who's senior? Right? So Dvaitacharya is senior, then Nityananda, then Lord Chaitanya. Yeah. But actually, Dvaitacharya is serving Nityananda, who's serving Lord Chaitanya. So.
This, the time is in the present, in the spiritual world. So can you say that it is based not on the actions for a moment, but upon the experience that it is considered time is in the present?
Is time based on the action, not on the action, but on the experience? But how are you correlating those two? Because time means action. So there, time is supporting devotion, while here, time is making things happen. Because otherwise, we might not do anything, but time is there. You have to do something. Like we're sitting there and we're feeling lazy, right? What's that? Through the mode of ignorance. It's only because of time you have to do something at some point. But otherwise, if time was not there, if time was just supporting your mood, you sit there as a, you know.
Because the gopis are married in the Bhavamalila, and in Goloka they do not have the husbands, so then they carry forward that particular experience if they are married over there in the Vedas. In that sense, I was thinking.
They're carrying forward the experience, but why does that? Why would you use time as the that is a definition in time? You know what I'm saying? Because what's the important point of it? The important point is that their connection to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So you use the definitions in the area, because everything's connected to Krishna. But so you use the definitions in the area of how they're supporting and what aspect they're taking part of in the pastimes. So experience, that's prema. Why would you call it time? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Two 294, also from the 10th canto. Dear Nanda, how is it that we and all the other residents of Braja cannot give up your constant affection, our constant affection for your son? And how is it that he is so spontaneously attracted to us? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.26.13. Srila Prabhupada. A similar statement is there in the 10th canto, 26th chapter, verse 10 of Srimad Bhagavatam. When Lord Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, The cowherd men, under the protection of Lord Krishna, became struck with wonder and went to Nanda Maharaj and inquired from him, "My dear Nanda Maharaj, how is it that we are so intensely attached to Krishna, and that Krishna is also so affectionately attached to us? Does it mean that he is the super soul of everyone?" 21295. One can understand that the inhabitants of Braja are eternal associates by the words "eternal friend" in verse 293, and "how is that that he is so spontaneously attracted to us" in verse 294. 21296. Thus, for this reason, the Yadavas, known as the cowherd people, are said to be eternal associates of the Lord. As with the Lord's actions, their actions also appear worldly, though everything about them is purely spiritual. Right? Because Krishna is performing human pastimes. So it'll appear that it's worldly. Because in the human pastimes, then the relationships are the main point that's there. It's not the opulences, it's not powers, it's not other aspects like that. Right? The demigods, then they have all their powers or all their positions, that mood of enjoyment. So it won't have the sweetness that the human pastimes will have. Where in Vaikuntha, we see then the great opulence and all that, so it won't have the same. So the human pastimes then was what's special. Does that make sense? Like that. Yeah, and here it's interesting. The Yadavas, known as the cowherd people, because they're also Yadavas. That's why they're all connected. The two families, it means the Vrindavan and Dwarka, they're connected, because they're from the same family. Just one group is in Vrindavan as cowherds, and the other is in Dwarka as kings. Okay. So Yadavas means all of them. Yeah, so when he says the Yadavas have come, they're my eternal associates, then directly we'll think Haisei, or obviously we'll think the Dwarkavasas. Yes. But actually it's also meaning the Brajavasas. Yes. Srila Prabhupada. All of the residents of Vrindavan and Dwarka, namely the cowherd men and the members of the Yadu family, are eternally perfect devotees of the Lord, as the Lord descends by his causeless mercy upon this planet. So in order to help in the pastimes of the Lord, these devotees also come here. They are not ordinary living entities or conditioned souls. They are ever liberated persons, associates of the supreme of the personality of Godhead. And just as Lord Krishna behaves like an ordinary man when he descends to this planet, so the members of the Yadu dynasty and the residents of Vrindavan execute activities just like ordinary men. But they are not ordinary men. They are as liberated as Lord Krishna himself. So they're unaffected by the modes or anything like this. 21297-298. Also from the Uttarakhanda of the Padma Purana. Just as Lakshmana, Bharat, and Shankarshana have taken birth with the Lord, the Yadava cowherd people, descending from their spiritual planet by the Lord's will, take birth with the appearance of Lord Krishna, and then return to his eternal Dhamma along with him. The birth of these devotees is not caused by the bondage of karma. Srila Prabhupada. In the Padma Purana Uttarakhanda section, it is stated, just as Lord Ramachandra descends along with Lakshmana, an expansion of Sankarsana, and Bharat, an expansion of Prajumna, So the members of the Yadu dynasty and the cowherd men of Vrindavan also descend with Lord Krishna in order to join in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. When the Supreme Lord returns to his eternal abode, his associates return with him to their respective places. As such, these ever-liberated Vaishnavas are not bound by the material laws of birth and death. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.9 by the Lord himself, his birth, deeds, and activities are all transcendental. Similarly, the birth, deeds, and activities of the associates of the Lord are also transcendental. And as it is an offense to consider oneself to be Krishna, so it is offensive to consider oneself to be Yashoda, Nanda, or any other associate of the Lord. We should always remember that, that they are transcendental. They are never conditioned souls. Right? Yes?
Maharaj, before Krishna incarnated here, all the demigods become here as a Yadu dynasty. So who are they, eternal associates or demigods?
No. Both. Means that the Yadus are taking part, the demigods are coming to take part in the pastimes. And so the eternal associates, then they also are coming along with. Because you have those who are going to perfect their lives, right, by taking part in the pastimes. Just like you have the cowherd boys that already have prema. And then you have the cowherd boys that are, you know, have come up from the devotional process to the platform of bhava. And now they need to develop prema. So they're going to get that by the association of the eternal associates.
So some of them are from the spiritual sky and some of them are from the heavenly plane.
Yes.
Prefer the righteousness.
Yes. And then you see is that because they are, yes, that's the easiest way to deal.
It's not that the two jivas in one body like that. It's not that like demigod and eternal associate.
Two jivas in one body. So we're talking Beach Boys here or something? I said, the point is the demigods coming down and taking part, then they're doing their activities like this. You know, they're taking part in and associating there. You also have the aspect is that the eternal associates are the source of all these demigods. Right? So then it will be that potency is there in them to perform those activities because they're taking a particular aspect. You know, just like Indra is a jiva taking that post, but that potency is not coming from him, it's coming from Krishna. It'll specifically be coming through his energies. Right? Therefore, if we're starting, let's say we're starting with Rupa Goswami's and his padati and establishing the yog peak, then Lalita is going to be in the east. That's Indra's position. So that means the potency of Indra comes from Lalita. Does that make sense? You know? And Vishakha will be then the northeast corner. That's Shiva's corner. That means Shiva's that position that comes from her. Does that make sense? So that's how all this works. You know, Chitra knows Champakalata. She knows all the 14 books of Vedic knowledge. So anybody that has that kind of potency, like Bhrigu or Brahma, it all comes from there. Does that make sense? And that's where it's there. And then they'll have their expansions. And then like this, it all comes down. So you can have that, and it goes out through because they're all having that post. They'll all have that potency. Right? And so it doesn't really matter, right? It's just like now, how many jivas are in your body, right? One's controlling, but there's another, you know, probably millions that are there, you know, just having a good time.
Koti.
Does that make sense? You know.
So Maharaj, when we are taking prasadam, we are nourishing so many as well as being.
Yes, we are. You know,
it's preaching.
It's like yes, you're preaching just by taking prasadam. So yes, like in Australia. I mean, the old term nowadays, all these things have become archaic, and they'll make the point that when they're really hungry, then they'll say, "Me tapes are barking." You know, tapeworms. Yeah, so then they have to eat because the tapeworms are getting hungry. Yeah, so. Yes. Well, yes.
Does it mean that eternal associates not necessarily belong to jiva tattva? They can be...
No. Not at all. Just like Nanda and Jashoda, they'll be internal potency.
Yes. Right.
They're not jivas.
Yes.
Like that, but they're internal potency. So basically speaking, you know, most of these, they're all internal potency.
Yes.
Those who come and assist, they're the ones who are jivas.
Yes.
You know, the gopis are generally all, at least in our group, they'll be internal potency. But the maidservants, they'll be jivas.
Okay.
But that's the whole point of the cows, the trees, and everything like that. They're expanding from sandini potency, so they don't have to be jivas. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just expanded to for it all to happen, because everything's conscious there. So even the pots are conscious. You know, so you know that's why you don't, when you wash the pot, you don't throw the pot. It's conscious. So you have to practice that here.
It's like a baby.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you got to put it nicely. Yeah. And there's a good chance it'll let you know. Does that work? Or do we need, I say, do we need more definition on the secondary platform? You know what I'm saying? It can all be done. It's just a matter of where, at what point we appreciate it. Does that make sense? So, when you have the associates that went, the aspects that went Prabhas?
Yeah,
Prabhas. That's all the demigods. That's not the eternal. So the eternal associates stayed in Dwarka. So even if there are eternal associates from there, only the demigod part came to Prabhas. Because it's their potency that makes the demigod work anyway. So only that aspect went to Prabhas. And so then they, you know, fight and kill each other and like this. And the Lord, therefore, the pass on. And the others just go from Dwarka. See, the problem with this question is if you don't catch the principal point, the more you get into detail, the more complicated and confusing it gets. So, does that make sense? So if you can see the original personality and the demigod that expects from them, and it, you're actually dealing with one principle, then it makes sense. But if we're stuck on, well, is it this and is it that and that? Because, you know, like this, they said, the eternal associates, they're not necessarily jivas. Does that make sense? You know, like you have, what's his name, in the Vishakshena in Vaikuntha. He's the commander of the Vaikuntha army. But he's also the one who removes all obstacles. So then when it comes here into the material world, then you're going to get Ganesh, and you're going to get Skanda, Kartikeya. Right? So they're expanding from that one. And then he's expanding from, and it all goes back to the yoga pit where you have Radha and Krishna and the eight gopis. And then from there, everything goes out. Still not the answer you're looking for. Okay? Or you're very inscrutable, one or the other. Yeah? Okay? And if it still doesn't make sense, chant Hare Krishna and
take
prasad, and then it'll all work out in the wash. Yeah. Yes.
Mahaprabhu tells to that Brahmana that Brahmana is not cooking food in South India, because how can Ravana take Sita Devi? And Mahaprabhu finds Purana and shows him. He didn't took Sita Devi, it was...
He took Maya Sita. Yeah, yeah. So like that. Yeah, it's the same kind of principle. They're both together, but then they can be separate. But you can also have those that are just coming up and trying to get into those as assistants. So when Krishna's telling the demigods, because he, as who's telling the demigods to appear in Dwarka? Who actually said it? No, but in what form?
Vishnu
as Kirodakshaya Vishnu.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Like that. But then we see as the Chakravyuhar are appearing there, you know, Vasudeva Prajumna Adi, that they're above him. That means Kirodakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is coming, Mahavishnu is coming.
Yes.
You know, so that's the things, they're all there. So then when Krishna comes, all the other forms are within him. But at the same time, as they can also be outside. Getting any better or getting worse? Like the, I say, transcendental tar baby. No.
there is some activity in this course. There is some activity in this course.
Yes.
Yeah. Thinking.
Yes, thinking is there. Mm. And so it's just, then Krishna, we have that, and it's about pleasing Krishna and all that, then slowly, slowly these things will be understood. Okay. So. Okay, so then also we see is here, is we never try to be in the position of these eternal associates. We're servants of the servants. We never become these positions. So that's why then, you know, we're not, you know, Radharani and Mother Yashoda and Nanda and Sudam, Sridam, Subal, or, you know, even the main tree, that's, you know, Madhavendra Puri. He's the desire tree that Krishna sits under in the yog peak. Right? Like that. So all these positions are there. We can assist that. So there's always position room for assistance. And because Krishna's associates are you know, eternal and that he can expand unlimitedly, then there can be unlimited assistance taking part. Right? Each queen, you know, her maid service will be assistance. Right? So then each time there's a pastime, different jivas can be there. When Krishna's in Dwarka here with Rukmini, when he's you know, moves to the next universe, he's still with Rukmini, the same Rukmini, but the maid servants will be different. They can be different jivas from that universe. Does that make sense? Yeah, because she came with 2,000 maid servants. Doesn't mean she didn't get more, but at least she, you know, that was the entry point level, you know, palace entry point level, 2,000 maid servants. Okay. Otherwise, it's just a big house. It's a mansion. You come with 2,000 maid servants and you have face and facility. Now we're talking palace. Right? If you ever want to know the difference between a palace and a mansion, right? Yeah. Okay. Jiva Goswami, the phrase appear with the Lord, so similarly the yad of a cowherd people, end quote, should be supplied in Sanskrit to verse 297. Yadrishaya here means from one's own will rather than accidentally, another meaning of the word. Right? So it's by Krishna's will, it's not by accident. Amarkosh says Yadrishcha. Svaita. Yadrishcha means one's will. 212.99. The first 55 qualities of 55, the first 55 of the qualities denoting Krishna, as well as qualities such as the ability to give yogic siddhis, are also present in the perfected devotees. Srila Prabhupada, it's described that Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, has 64 transcendental qualities. And all of the ever-liberated souls who accompany the Lord have the first 55 of the qualities, right? Within the material world, it means one may have 50 qualities in a small amount, the jivas. But these eternal associates, they'll have 55, because he sees that they expand unlimitedly, and that as the Lord's pastimes expand, they're always, Mother Yashoda is in every universe that Krishna's in. So we're saying this moment is past, and it's now in the next moment, therefore the pastime's eternal. Right? So therefore then that means every moment is going, right? So you're talking about a lot of universes here. No? Yeah. Without any doubt, right? So we shouldn't have a doubt about, well, how is that? It's just the way it is. Such devotees are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any of five transcendental mellows, namely neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parenthood, and conjugal love. These relationships with the Lord are eternal, and therefore Nitya Siddha devotees do not have to strive to attain the perfectional stage by executing regulated devotional principles. They are eternally qualified to serve Krishna. Right? So there's just whatever's there, these 55 are there for them to take part in, for their pastimes with the Lord. Because we see, even those five, those extra five, even Brahma and Shiva may have to some degree. So, you know, nobody has the degree Krishna has, but so they also have. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. The 55 qualities of the Lord, Te, and also qualities not mentioned in relation to the Lord, such as the ability to give anima siddhi, are present in the perfect devotees. Though these are not suitable for rasa, they are mentioned to show the superior nature of bhakti. They have all them, doesn't mean they'll use them.
Yes.
Does that make sense? That's the whole point. It's just, you know, they have them, but they don't have to use them. Because at this point, what's suitable in rasa, that's what they'll use. Nothing else. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada.